Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse, and what's going on, everybody? Well, we'll call yesterday the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. what a day. I tell you, it was amazing action as the market started out. We're higher, we're higher, we're higher. Out came the CPI. The Dow actually dropped about 450 points in less than minutes. And then by the end of the day, it was up about 300. Actually, losing 500, recovering 600. Net of it all. I guess the world is safe. I guess nothing really matters. And I guess we're just going back to the moon. As everybody says, everything's okay now. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter about the weak manipulated dollar, the pet project of our Federal Reserve, the geniuses at work. It's always interesting to watch how these people work. I mean, and to me, it makes no logical sense. The logic behind the market is interesting, and you look at the overall project, and I think there's issues. I can't see that there's not issues. I see markets up, and again, we're not surprised. I mean, if you remember when we talked about this originally, we said and felt that there was going to be a rally or rallies, and that we're going to be sharp and we're going to be very tough on you. Okay, they're going to test your emotions because they look so good. So now, now what? Well, I mean, I think if you look at the market, I mean, the rally is not a surprise. I think now what you have to look at is where do we go from here, and does this rally make it to the upper end, and does it make new highs? If it doesn't make new highs, then this is exactly what we were looking for. I mean, we're still, 1600 points from the top of the market. So, I would expect that 25.5 in the Dow would be about as high as we can go. Now, if we break above that and we make new highs, then I'm going to be wrong. But from my standpoint, this is exactly the action we were looking for. From my standpoint, this is exactly the type of trading that we would expect, because again, we're not looking for the market to go straight down, because it shouldn't go straight down. What we're looking for is the failure on this next rally. So, we can go, I'm a seller personally at 25,000, 25.5. Okay, and if it continues to go up, then I'll have to take a loss and move on. But I believe that this is the rally. I mean, we've come back, from, if you look at it top to bottom, we were 3,000 points or so top to bottom. Well, 25,000 is right around the mid-range, which would be a potential retracement sell-off. And again, nothing has changed from a fundamental or a technical standpoint. The markets look like they want to go lower. And we're going to look to be sellers of this market for that very reason. Because, again, this is exactly what we described for months, is we're not wanting to sell yet. We wanted to see the first big sell-off. So we got the sell-off that went down, 23.5 in the Dow. And now it's rallied back to 24.5. So what? Okay, to 25. Again, that's the whole key, is where do we go from here now? What is the next move? And I would be willing to say that that next move is going to be lower. I think that is pretty evident based on the action. Based on everything that I'm looking at, I don't see anything good except for the pundits and the brokers trying to convince everybody that this is just another great buying opportunity. And not that it's not a buying opportunity. I'm not saying that I'm 100% correct. What I'm saying is that based on everything that I look at, it tells me that the top of the market is in. It tells me that we could see a much bigger sell-off now. It tells me that I want to sell rallies because that's what the markets are appearing to look like to me. Now, if we buy into, you know, everything else, then again, you're going to be trapped like the rest. I mean, again, this is a perfect trapping situation. You know, we're ignoring the same things we always ignore. And of course, this is typical of the ending or the topping of a market. Okay. The markets will top, and this looks like they're trying to top. And that's what is more important to understand is how to trade it and deal with it from here. Okay. This is what's more important is how to find yourself in the best position and lay the probabilities in your favor. Because that's where we're going to get the best opportunity. You know, again, markets do not go in one direction. For one day, they go in one direction. And, you know, certainly yesterday was a little bit of a rip your face off. But again, to me, all I see now is an opportunity and a better opportunity for me to sell at higher prices. Okay. You know, so that's what I'm looking at here is this is a tremendous opportunity as for years, the dip buyers made it. Well, yesterday's action looked like some short covering. All right. And again, we continue to ignore the potential deal with what the debt issue is. And all of a sudden you find out that, hey, you know what? There are some problems underlying this economy. And that would be more important. Now, if we look at just, you know, the last 3 days of the rally, okay, the volume has been light. Okay, so again, it's just another reason to believe that this is not the real deal because there's no force behind it. I mean, it's a lot of volume based on going back months, but based on the period we're in now, it's the volume is not that heavy. So these are things that are important to understand from a trading perspective. And from an investing perspective, all right, where are the best opportunities? And, you know, I think you're watching the overall abomination of a lot of asset products right now that are going to be cause and become bigger problems. But we'll talk about more of this when I come back from break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I want to remind you to go to highschoolinvesting.com. I want you to check out the website and see what we're teaching. And then I want you to go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and make a little donation. Help us out. Let's continue to help educate our youth in America. And if you do that for me, I will give you one free week of my advisory service. And if you want to know what the advisory service is about, you can check it out on Saturday. I'll be doing a webinar on this at 1 o'clock Eastern Saturday. So you can check that out. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can also download The Sporting Edge there, as well as Crypto Investor X, which is our new weekend podcast with Matt Demeter. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be back with more of The Bubba Show and more information on how to defend yourself against this market after the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It is The Bubba Show, and come alive, come alive. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, the markets and what's happening. Now, how dumb can the Fed be? How dumb can the Fed react to situations. They have never made the right decision when it comes to interest rates in their history. Again, that's not me because I don't like them. That's just me telling you the facts. That's just a fact. But, I mean, now, how can so many people want to stand by and support their actions? I mean, it's not, it's pretty evident the issues that come through the market. It's pretty evident that they have no clue. Okay. Again, you can defend them if you want, but it's pretty evident that they have no clue of what's next. You know, I'd like to say that they know what they're doing, but it's hard for me to say that they know what they're doing based on what I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is a market and a Fed that is so thoroughly confused, they couldn't find their way home. Okay, what I'm looking at is a market that continues to push higher. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not mad. I mean, listen, as I keep saying each and every week, I'm long the market, right? I'm benefiting from what's going on. So again, it's not that I'm a bear the market has to go down. I'm long. I'm net long. I'm short in the short term, but I'm certainly net long. Okay. So why am I saying that it should go down? Because the market needs to go down. The Fed is totally blew this whole situation on how to work their way out. And again, you're now seeing some major manipulation in the dollar. Okay. The dollar is being artificially suppressed. There is no way the dollar should be down here. Now, we know that popular what they've said is Mnuchin and Trump would like a lower dollar. Okay. Now, you know, if the dollar goes higher from here, well, that also actually affects as a hike in rates as well. Because higher rates, more expensive dollars make lending or make borrowing more expensive throughout the globe. And, you know, banking is a global idea. So the Fed and other central banks are selling dollars. Why? Because, A, their balance sheet is so dang big. They've got to make sure that the rates stay low because they're going to have to make the payments as well. But it really affects the bottom line of the companies that have borrowed money. You know, we can't forget the whole makings and workings of the markets. We can't forget the asset classes that we're seeing. We cannot allow and forget to realize that a more expensive dollar is a de facto rate increase on its own. If you go back to when this whole mess first started, you know, and you had negative rates going on and everybody was worried about the dollar, they weren't worried about anything else but the dollar, because the dollar at the end of the day is the difference. So right now, anybody borrowing money against the weaker U.S. dollar out of the country is paying less for their loan, even though they say the loan's 3%. Well, you know, if you got the euro currencies, you're paying 25% less. So again, this is the weird and queer thinking of currency, which I never understood. I still don't understand that the currency is, you know, should be what it's worth, not what it's manipulated to be. I don't like the fact that they continue to trash my dollars. All right. That's why you're seeing more of a popularity in some of the cryptos. I know the cryptos have been down recently, but the popularity is there because people are tired of being screwed. And that's what you're getting. That's what we get from the Federal Reserve is a screw job, is a con job. Because they're not doing anything that will benefit you or me. They're doing something that benefits the extremely wealthy, okay? Which, again, I'm not against the wealthy. But they're also doing things that are not logical. And they have not taken any of the right steps to move to satisfy what the economy has done. So I go back to the same question I ask almost every day. If the economy is so strong and so good, why are rates still not going up? Why is the Fed kept continuing to hide? And why are they pounding on the dollar? All right. So you can listen to all of the experts and the pundits telling you how good it is and buy, buy, buy. But my question to you is, have you ever heard any of them say sell, sell, sell? And the answer is really no. You know, they all tend to duck and cover when the markets start to sell off. And, you know, if you look from the perspective of what the markets are about, I mean, we are due a sell-off. Probabilities suggest that there should be a sell-off. And again, sell-off is not a bad thing all the time. You know, we want to make it out to be a bad thing. But a good old ass whipping would be very good for the market. And I'm not talking about that straight down volatility crap we saw. I'm talking about a regular sell-off where we really see some things happen, because at the end, you will weed out the crud and you will put yourself in the markets in a much better position. And again, that is something that we have to get over and forget about you listening to the Fed, who has no idea. I mean, did you see the Atlanta Fed? I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, they made a ridiculous 5.7% GDP. Now they're back down to 3. Well, what happened in that period of time? Okay. What happened with this inflation data that we want to, again, continue to ignore? And this is, you know, one of the things you look at a market is when good news is bad news and bad news is good news. And we're in that kind of frame still. That's really what's driven the markets for quite a while, because it's, again, it comes back down to interest rates. Interest rates. It's always about the money. Remember, it's money, money, money. And if we don't straighten our act up here pretty quickly, things could get a lot uglier. Because, again, you cannot ignore the massive amount of debt that is out there. You cannot ignore the clueless nature in which the Federal Reserve works under, right? Because if you've noticed, the 10-year is approaching 3%, the 30-year is approaching 3.30. Right? Are we going to say that doesn't mean anything either? So, in other words, nothing means anything as long as the Fed's got control. Okay. Now, that could be very well true for a small percentage of the population. But I think it's time that we quit accepting what the Fed wants to state as fact. I think we stop accepting the BS that we get fed, because, again, most of it is BS-a-rooney. Right? We cannot continue to be fooled by the clueless nature of many of our politicians and many of our Federal Reserve members, because, again, it goes back to the same thing, right? Can you afford to keep kicking the can down the road? Can you afford to keep delaying the inevitable? And can you be in good shape if you do that? And the answer to all those questions are a resounding no. We can't do that. Look, the markets are going to take a beat down. Isn't it better to take a beat down from when everything is operating at full cylinders? Okay, or is it better to try to think that you can actually borrow your way out of debt, which is something we will talk about when we come back from the break here at the Bubba Show? In the meantime, on Saturday, February the 17th, I'm doing a webinar on day trading futures and spec trading. If you'd like to join us, it's free. Just either email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com or go to bubbatrading.com, and there'll be a link there for you to sign up. And also, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download my show, the Crypto Investor X, and the Bubba Show. And of course, Bubba's Daily Update, which is yours for free. No credit card required. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com, and there'll be a little box that'll pop up, and you can get my daily market updates right after the market closes each and every day. And I give you what I think for tomorrow at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, the markets are higher. They're a mess. But, you know, I think it's only a matter of time now. We had the PPI come out today. And excuse me. Yeah, PPI. Yesterday was CPI. And showing higher inflation as we see the Fed trying to do their usual, run their legalized Ponzi scheme. And, of course, which is trying to push down the dollar, because that is their last step, the last thing they can do to try to control this. And of course, at the end of the day, we know how this is going to end. It never ends well when there is manipulation, when there is artificial trade going on. It's one of those things. We all know that you cannot borrow your way out of debt. You cannot change things that create debt. And at the end of the day, what we will end up seeing is another mess. But, you know, again, I think that we're very close, and certainly I would be ready to go ahead and get ready to get short here, the overall general markets. I think you want to look at it from a standpoint of, you know, I think gold is a sale. I think oil is still a sale, although it had a rally. I think the euro currency is a sale. I think the dollar is a buy. I think that's what you get. The format you have to look at is, you know, where can you get the best advantage and the best shots to be better? And I think that is exactly what we need to look at, is, you know, how it's all going to work out and where it's going to come from. And, you know, where is the new money going to come from? We're already dramatically over leveraged as a society. All right, now, again, you're always going to hear this. This is the standard operating procedure. There is money on the sidelines, and there's always money on the sidelines. This is not new. This is a way that it's been forever. Okay. And this has been the excuse we have seen forever, is there's money on the sidelines. Okay, great. There's always money on the sidelines. China's always buying grains, and there's always money on the sidelines. And that's just the way it goes. And what I think you have to understand here is the formation of the markets. You know, markets formations are part of it, and understanding those formations are important, because that's what's going to put you in the most profitable position, okay, or the highest probability of being successful, and that is, you know, kind of what we always are focused on, is where does that formation come from. And how do we get to be in the best spot? And that is always the case as we look at it to set up the correct trade. And again, every trade is not going to be a winner, but every trade is going to give you the opportunity to be a winner, and it's going to put you in the highest spot of probabilities. And after all, really what we are trading is a probability model. Okay. And if we continue to stay there and use the highest probability, then we're going to be in the best position to create a successful opportunity. And that's all we can ask for, is to be in the best spot and be ready. Again, we can have opinions, we can think about it, but the charts should answer and should be your opinion. And everything else should be part of what you do and be part of the trading process. But the first thing you have to do is be planned to have a successful opportunity. And then how do you get to that successful opportunity? I think that is the overall thing that we're always looking for, is how can we set up the best position? And that is by following and looking at the footprint that the markets will leave you, because they will always leave you a solid footprint. And that is where we have to find the ability to read the market, understand that they call it the tape, all right? You know, you've heard that, you heard paint the tape and all that. Well, the tape is the trading that's going on. And again, you, when you get to see these certain opportunities, you will then find out where you can create your best opportunity to set up the right trade. All right. You know, it's not just because I say so, it's because the chart says so. Your entire setup should always be because of what the chart says, not because of what you think or what you want to happen. Okay, but it's what should happen based on the overall market setup. And that, again, that goes back to, we are trying to always set ourselves up to be in the best spot to capitalize on any market movement. Now, you know, we called, actually, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we called for a 150 low on Apple. And of course, Apple is now 170 something. Now, again, I'm not saying it was easy to get in. I'm not saying you should have even made the trade. I'm just saying that that was what we were looking for. And there are certain things that I will look at and I'll say, okay, well, I'm only going to be a seller of this, but I need to see this price before I would consider being a seller. Okay. I'm only going to do X, Y, and Z here if I see X, Y, and Z here. And that, again, it should not be based on your personal opinion, but more it should be based on what the markets are showing you. You know, it's like, you know, when we talk with Matt Demeter, you know, and he talked about, you know, Bitcoin for quite a while, and Bitcoin was, you know, higher. And a lot of the indicators are, you know, they get overbought or oversold, and they need to be relieved. That's why we always talk about the phases of the market, is simply for that same reason that we need to resolve some things within a market. You know, they get, for example, the treasury bonds are oversold right now. Okay. So when you look at that, you know, they're going to bounce. Now, again, we're just looking for the opportunity to sell the bounce. And if we have that, then we will be able to, you know, resume our short position, because we're going to sell the bounce. It's like the same thing we've talked about the Dow for forever, is the movement that it's making will now allow us to go ahead and resell it, because that's where we expected the failure to come from, about where it came. Okay. And you saw today's action was higher, and then they broke. So that was a very, you know, I'm not going to say easy call, because nothing is easy, but that was something that we were looking for. And it makes sense from a trading standpoint on how we go about doing that. And that is the importance of how the market itself functions, is simply that we have to be prepared to make the move when it's time, and make the move when things are going to give us the right answer based on what the market is telling us. So if we look at the whole rally, and we peaked at 26,000, and then we said we needed a big break. We got the big break, about the 10-12%, and then we got the rally. So we wanted to see the rally fail, and that's what we're seeing. So with the rally failing, that then gives us the opportunity to go ahead and take another short position here, because that's how the market functions. That's what we're looking for. And that's what it's always about. It's about, how does the market function? How is it going to react to certain circumstances? Forget the news. Forget the BS. It comes back down to, how will it react to the situation that we're looking at? And at the end of the day, you can see exactly how it works out. And again, is it every time, is it perfect? No. But yes, it is the way that the markets work. And that's why your understanding of the markets and how they're going to proceed and how they're going to work is the important things that we need to do on a regular basis, is to be prepared for what the market is telling us to do and prepared for what is going to happen. And if we do all that, then we are going to set ourselves up to be on the right side of the trade, even though we're going to lose sometimes, because we have to be disciplined enough to use the stops that will take us out of the market at certain instances. Okay, and that is, again, it's simple on the way that we do things, is to make sure that we're prepared, and preparation is the key to success. Just like we're trying to prepare all of those high school kids, by teaching them about business and about finance and about how we can put them in the best position to be successful with their own personal finances. And of course, those are the future leaders of this country. Hopefully they'll take care of our finances correctly instead of the way they're taken care of now. So if you want to help me out with the high school investing program, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And also go to Liberty Talk every day and download the Bubba Show every single day. And if we can, then we can then reach our goal of 1 million downloads. Okay, 1 million a month. And then, of course, if you want to get my daily update, which is the new raving sensation, you can go to BubbaTrading.com, and you can certainly load up the daily updates, and we'll email them to you every single day. Right after the market close. So again, we're trying to keep you in information, keep you apprised of what's going on, and keep you ready to rocking and rolling. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with more of the Bubba Show right after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. We're coming right back to you after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, we're going to listen to one of our friends, Bill Whittle, and hear what he has to say. So let's go check him out right now.
You know, recently I saw a film I liked very much, saw it twice, in fact. And I remember waiting for the axe to fall on necks that I'd grown to like. Because that's what happens in the movies, right? Fatal flaws are revealed, heroes have feet of clay. Nothing is as it should be, and that's the way it is. You know, it used to be that the movies were a world of make-believe where monsters lived and evil showed its face long enough to be vanquished. Now, it's the real world that seems like make-believe, a place so distorted that having watched it happen by degrees for 3 generations, we still can't believe our own eyes. So here we are in Pottersville. The America that we knew, the America of George Bailey and Bedford Falls, was a place filled with virtue and ruled by law. It was a place where you could sleep with your door unlocked without fear of murder, rape, or robbery. It was a place where being courteous didn't make you a sucker, where doing the right thing was better than doing the smart thing, where hard work and discipline could put a little patch of paradise down on the ground for those of us who live below the angels, which is all of us. And there upon that ground we slept. And there we are sleeping still. We're in a coma of corruption, some spell put on us to keep us immobilized as we discovered that our actual government is simply a cabal of unkillable vampires, and we the people are simply host organisms for them to feed on. Now, there are different breeds of that species, of course. You know, media swells with an IQ of 102 who are smugly certain that entitles them to know what's better for you than you do. Show business paladins who beat their chest with pride at their respect for women as equal partners when they're up on the podium, I mean, because in the dark, back in the wings and out of the limelight, they're simply the most base and indecent people this country's ever produced. We thought that we held the reins of the government with the power of our vote. Turns out that's a Bedford Falls belief. Things don't work like that here in Pottersville. We throw them out, we put new ones in, and they wear the same costumes and makeup as the identical actors who've just exited the stage, while they stand in for last year's thieves and liars without missing a beat. And above it all, or below it, I guess I should say, lies the law, shattered and dust-covered from lack of use. Just try to explain, if you have the nerve, to those watching It's a Wonderful Life in a movie theater in 1946, that during our last presidential election, the wife of a rapist twice elected to the presidency, you're going to have to pause for a moment there, those people were not in the same coma we're in today. It takes a little getting used to. Well, she watched as the director of the FBI, the Untouchables, surely you remember them, announced to the world a list of felonies so long that it took about half an hour to list them all. Watch their noble faces fall when told that the litany of larceny was followed immediately not by an indictment, but rather a benediction. Tell them that the Untouchables are now deployed against the American people to keep the real Untouchables from being touched. Tell them that the majestic edifice of the Department of Justice is now just another movie flat, painted on canvas and moved wherever it's needed. But don't tell them how it happened, because there's only so much shame a person can bear. Go tell them, those few that are still alive, that while we've kept our freedom, we've lost our virtue. And if we don't find it, and fast, well, then it's just a matter of time. Explain to them that their descendants grew so disgusted, so repulsed by this nightmare that they allowed to be created, they somehow managed, barely, to break through this corruption coma, get up on their hind legs, and in their desperation, elect a man whom they called not to reform this deep state oligarchy, but rather to destroy it. To destroy it, root and branch, come what may.
And that's our friend Bill Whittle. And of course, we've got one more for you today. And let's get to that right now.
Well, hello, boys and girls. It's Uncle Bill back with another happy story for everyone. It has to be a happy story because the very, very nice people at YouTube have decided that some words, big words like electoral, let's say, or college, are so mean and nasty that you have to be over 18 to watch them. And that's a good idea. I want to thank the super cool and nice people at YouTube for helping to make sure that young people like you don't have to hear words like that until you're all grown up. But that's not a problem for us today, because today we have a happy story. It's called The Story of Friendlyism. Now, once upon a time, there was a little girl named Charlotte. Now, Charlotte just loved cookies. Everybody loves cookies. She loved cookies so much that she decided that she would like to eat one cookie a day at lunchtime for the rest of her life. So, Charlotte got up every morning before school and baked the cookie that she would eat every day at lunch. Now, one day at lunchtime, just as she was about to start on her delicious, freshly baked cookie, a boy named Tommy sat down right next to her, and Tommy looked very sad. "What's the matter, Tommy?" asked Charlotte. "You have a cookie and I don't," said Tommy. And seeing how sad Tommy was, Charlotte broke her cookie in half and gave half to Tommy. And then Tommy was very happy, just like Charlotte. He said, "What a friendly person you are, Charlotte. Thanks for sharing your cookie with me." And grown-ups have a word for people who share their cookies with other people, and that word is friendlyism. Friendlyism means sharing your cookie with somebody who doesn't have any. Now, the next day, Tommy sat down next to her again at lunch, but Tommy didn't look sad. Tommy looked excited. "I can't wait to eat my half cookie," said Tommy. So Charlotte broke the cookie in half and gave half to Tommy, and he was just so happy about how friendly Charlotte was. Every day, Tommy came and sat next to Charlotte and waited for Charlotte to share her cookie. But Charlotte had wanted to eat a whole cookie at lunch, but now she was only eating half a cookie. So the next day, Charlotte baked two cookies. And at lunchtime, she broke one of the cookies in half and gave it to Tommy. And Tommy was happy because of how friendly Charlotte was. So Charlotte ate her half cookie, and then she pulled out the second cookie that she'd kept just for herself. And when Tommy saw the second cookie, he was very happy too. He waited for her to break the second cookie in half, but Charlotte didn't want to break it in half. And Tommy said, "Charlotte, you have a half cookie and a whole cookie, and I only have a half cookie." And then he shouted very loudly in his outdoor voice and said, "That's not very friendly at all." So Charlotte broke the second cookie in half and gave it to Tommy, and Tommy was happy. Then one day, Charlotte decided that her math teacher, Mr. Jones, and her Spanish teacher, Ms. Rodriguez, had been such good teachers that she would bake each one of them their own cookie as a present. So Charlotte made four cookies, one for her, one for Tommy, one for Mr. Jones, and one for Ms. Rodriguez, and she would wait until after school and give them their special presents after the last bell rang. But when lunchtime came, Charlotte was late because she had to ask Mr. Jones a question. And when she sat down, Tommy was very angry. "Charlotte," he said, "I've had to wait almost the whole lunchtime for my cookie, and that's not very friendly at all." So Charlotte gave Tommy his cookie, and just as Charlotte was closing her lunch bag, Tommy looked inside and saw the two extra cookies that Charlotte had made for Mr. Jones and Ms. Rodriguez. that's not fair, shouted Tommy. You have three cookies, and I only have one. But these aren't my cookies, said Charlotte. They're for my favorite teachers. You can do what you want with your half of the cookies, said Tommy. But you came to school with four cookies, and I only got one, and that's not fair. And Tommy was very, very angry. And then very loudly he said, I don't think you're a very friendly person at all. So Charlotte gave him another cookie, and Tommy was happy again. Thank you for sharing and being friendly after all, said Tommy. And just then the bell rang, and Tommy got up and headed back to the classroom. And Charlotte looked at her two cookies that were remaining. She could eat her cookie, but she didn't want to give her teachers half a cookie each. They were very good teachers. Or she thought, I could give each one of them a whole cookie, but then I don't get any cookies at all. And Charlotte thought about it all day and then late into the night. She thought about friendliness. She looked up at the ceiling and wondered why Tommy never brought her any cookies. She thought about how, no matter how many cookies she baked, Tommy would want half or else she wasn't being friendly. And she thought and she thought and she thought, and then she made up her mind and went to sleep. Now, the next day, she sat down on the bench and Tommy was there waiting. Where's my half of the cookies? Said Tommy. I didn't make any cookies today, said Charlotte, and she thought that would make Tommy very angry. But Tommy just said, oh, okay, if you don't have any to share, then that's still friendly. And then Tommy walked over and sat next to Claire. And Charlotte realized that there was a reason that being friendly had not worked. And the reason is that everybody likes to eat cookies, but not everybody likes to make cookies.
And this is the Bubba Show, Top of Hours. Have a great day, everybody. That was our friend Bill Whittle. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. This is the Bubba Show, Top of Hours. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, the Bubba Show. When it's-